The new big three have one last epic clash with LeBron James and the Miami Heat. It's the 2012 Deep Dive on this Thursday, Locked On Celtics. Millie, let's go. Raining J's back with the vengeance at all the real Celtics fans in attendance. This the truth like 34. This like walking in the garden when you hear the roars. Crowd goes crazy, most in-depth coverage on the daily, mainly podcast royalty, the content kings. When you talking about the franchise with 17 rings, focus like Danny at the deadline, global but it got a local feel like the red line, the blue line, the green line, play it in between time. I'ma throw my C's jersey on in the meantime and press play, when the F's done I can't wait until the next day, trying to stay in tune with the C's, it's the best way. Melly. Hey there, John Corrales of Bass Live. Here again saying thank you again for making this show part of your daily routine. You're still downloading the show, you're still listening, and I really do appreciate it, even throughout all of this craziness. And there is still a lot of craziness. We're watching guys test positive right now for coronavirus. Jabari Parker, Malcolm Brogdon have tested positive. The Brogdon test is particularly interesting because he did march side by side with Jaylen Brown during a protest in Atlanta. And of course, you naturally start to think, like, is that where he got it? Did he get it somewhere else? I mean, just because he was standing next to Jaylen Brown doesn't mean that that's where he got it. And of course, you start wondering, are any Celtics going to test positive? We haven't heard any Celtics test positive, but it's entirely possible. This is about the time. And frankly, this is why the NBA is testing now. So they know who's tested positive. They get a sense of what's happening, and they still have time for guys to quarantine, heal, get through the virus, get through the contagious stage, and then move on to the bubble in Orlando at Disney. Whether you think that's a good idea or not, it's happening. This is the league is moving forward. They're going to be playing basketball, and it's only getting more polarizing, which is, I get it. If you think this is a big mistake, you're very passionate about this being a big mistake. I don't like the fact that we're separating into like extreme sides. This is yet another thing where we're separating into extreme sides. I just don't like it because there's middle ground here. And frankly, I don't see why the Orlando bubble is any less safe than what guys are going through around the NBA right now. You understand that these guys are playing pickup basketball, right? These guys are out there living their lives, right? Like they're not sitting at home anymore. They're out there. They're doing things. I think the Disney bubble, that campus, is going to be one of the most controlled environments in the country. If anybody's going to be safe, it's going to be people in that environment. What really bothers me, as I said on the other day, I might have said it on this podcast, I said it on Locked On NBA, what really bothers me, the place where I really have questions about the NBA is the employees, the Disney employees. What are they going through? What are they subjected to? The NBA needs to find a way to make sure that those people are kept safe for their own health, first and foremost, for their own health. And then secondly, to make sure they're not bringing anything into that controlled environment. So I've said all along, if the NBA can pull this off and keep everybody healthy, then great. All I've seen from the experts has been impressed. They're impressed by the plan while saying it's not foolproof, but they think the plan is good. We'll see how good the plan is. They're going to try it. They're going to try it. And wherever you fall on it, you fall. I get it if you think the NBA shouldn't play. I hope you understand that they are a business trying to get back to business, and the players and the league have agreed. Both sides have agreed to do this. They both want to make sure that not just this season, but the future of the NBA, the financial future of the NBA, is kept intact. And yes, it's about money. And they're going to try to control the health side as much as they can and still go and play and make their money. That's how it goes. So we'll see how it goes. I'm sure by tomorrow, the Friday podcast, there'll be a lot more specifics. I'll talk a lot more about that. For now, let's get back to the conversation I've been having with Mike Dinan. We're back into the 2012 season, 2011-2012. The Celtics, it's locked out, shortened season. They're streaky, but they make a run, and it's the last big run of this new big three.
Look, this is a tough part of the schedule here. The Celtics aren't just streaky, but like there are a ton of these back-to-backs and three games in 5 nights and or 3 games in 4 nights. They're really stacking this schedule up to try and make up some of these losses. Now, I said earlier that there was an advantage to the Celtics starting later, and I do believe that. When you're a team that's older and you're constantly going deep into the playoffs, into the finals, and then you turn around and you have a shorter offseason than everyone else, I think that does take a toll. To have that extra couple of months, I think that definitely helped them out. But also, the flip side of that is, they're playing these horrible stretches. This Friday, January 13th, Saturday, January 14th, back to back, couple of losses to the Bulls and Pacers. 1 day off, then a game against Oklahoma City at home, 1 day off, then a game against Toronto, then 3 games in 4 nights. Then like it just go through that schedule. You just see them stacked up over and over and over and over again, a little bit relentless. And this Orlando stretch was like really that first time throughout this season, I think, that they actually had more than a couple of days off in between games.
Yeah, that kind of schedule is rough regardless of what your roster looks like. But the Celtics had all these guys that were 30 plus. Ray, Pierce, KG, Jermaine O'Neal, Keon Dooling, Marquise Daniels, all of them more than 31 years old. So, yeah, that was going to be a difficult season for them schedule-wise. And I don't recall having really any expectations going into the playoffs. I didn't know what we were going to see.
Yeah. So the Celtics ended up winning their division at 39-27. So they got the higher seed going into the playoffs, but they ended up playing Atlanta. Atlanta didn't win their division, but they ended up with a 40-26 record. So in a weird quirk because of just the way the divisions worked out, the Celtics were the fourth seed, but the Atlanta Hawks had, as the fifth seed, home court advantage. So,
And that playoff series was a little wild in the beginning. That first game, it was at Atlanta, and the Celtics got beat. But the main thing was Rajon Rondo got suspended for a game because he pushed Mark Davis, the referee.
Yes.
You love Mark Davis, don't you?
Oh, yeah.
I can distinctly remember Mark Davis was the ref who threw Brad Stevens out of a game the first time he ever got tossed.
Yes.
I distinctly remember you tweeted, Mark Davis is a colossal prick. And it was a perfect description of him because he really is, you know. He's got such a big ego, but he's also like he's probably not the most well known of the refs for being out of control. You know, he stays under control, but he's really sneaky and he does stuff like get Rondo to push him and then he gets suspended. So we thought, this is not ideal. Down 0-1, second game in Atlanta, and no Rondo. But then Pierce stepped in and went for 36-14, and they evened up the series.
I did indeed tweet that. I'm looking at it right now. I had to look it up. I don't remember the play. I'm gonna have to look up the play. But this is the
play where Rondo got suspended.
Yeah. This is the second time he got suspended. And so, and that was, again, we're building up to the animosity against Rondo, but he had gotten suspended once that season for a couple of games. I forget why it was. He got suspended once earlier that season, and then came this, which is, you know, a problem. And even though Mark Davis, as I try to figure out what it was that led up to this suspension, but he had thrown a ball at a ref earlier in the season, and then
yes.
And so he got bumped for two games there, and then this Mark Davis incident.
In this playoff game incident, it was the final minute of the game. The game was over, essentially. Atlanta was up by multiple hoops, and Rondo, I think, yelled at Mark Davis because there was some miscall in his opinion, and Davis turned around and teed him up, and Rondo moved toward him from behind now, because Davis had turned his back on him, and Rondo bumped into Davis, and that was, you're out of here, and that ended up a one-game suspension.
Okay.
But it didn't matter, because Pierce then came out and had one of his best games, and they tied up the series. They went home for two games, and they won both of those, so now they were up 3-1. And it eventually ended up closing it out, game six at home. Atlanta couldn't score in that series. The highest point total they had in any game was 87. The Celtics had the great defense.
They did. I mean, they had the number one defense in the NBA that year.
If you own a car, you're going to need to get something for that car. You're going to have to spend money on your car to fix it, to enhance it, to replace something. Whether you are a do-it-yourself person who can pop the hood and fix an engine, or a person like me that can, you know, change the windshield wipers, can change a headlight, can do like little things around, but as handy as I might be, I don't know cars, but even I can go to rockauto.com instead of going to one of those big chain stores that you see in the strip malls all around wherever you live. RockAuto.com is a better option because they have everything in stock. Instead of walking into one of those chain stores where you get what they have on the shelves and that's about it, you go to RockAuto.com. They have a full catalog that you can choose from that's very easy to navigate. Also, the price is the price. No different tiers for professional mechanics and do-it-yourselfers. Those mechanics don't get a discount just because they're a mechanic at RockAuto.com. They also don't shift their prices based on what the market's going to bear, like a plane ticket. RockAuto.com is for everybody. It does not require a membership. It does not require a login. It's a family business serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. Go to RockAuto.com to shop for everything from engine control modules to brake parts to tail lamps, motor oil, even a new carpet. Go to RockAuto.com right now. See all the parts available for your car or truck and write "Locked On" in their "How did you hear about us" box so they know we sent you. It's amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. RockAuto.com.
You are Locked On Celtics, your daily Boston Celtics podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
That series, the Celtics win in six. So the Hawks won game one, and then the Celtics whip off three straight wins, and they end up winning this thing in six. Did Rondo have a triple-double in one of these games? I think he did. But anyway.
I don't recall.
But so in game six, where the Celtics won 83-80, there was one missed free throw by the Atlanta Hawks in that game. A chance to cut the lead to a chance to tie the game at the end. The first missed free throw of the game was Al Horford that missed the free throws And instead of tying the game, then Pierce was fouled. Celtics go on and win that series. Then they go on and play Philly in the second round of this series. And they ended up, that one was a seven-game series where the Celtics had, they won the first game. They had a lead of 2-1. They had a lead of 3-2. And they, it was, you know, it was a battle for that series.
Yeah. The first two games were 1 point. 1 point Celtics win in game one, and then a 1 point Philly win in game two. If I remember correctly, Evan Turner made a winning basket. I didn't verify that, but I, that's what I seem to recall. And that was a very competitive series. Brandon Bass had a 27-point game, game five, and led the Celtics to a 16-point win. And then game seven was in Boston, and the Celtics won by 10. And well, I just wanted to, while we're talking about this, I just wanted to mention Rondo had a triple-double one of these games. Game seven, Rondo had 18, 10, and 10. And it was a low-scoring series. Philly never came close to 100 points in any of the games. But I wanted to mention, historically, the Celtics have not lost to Philadelphia in the playoffs since 1982. Just in case anybody was wondering.
just in case.
Back when in the Russell era and then in the Bird era, it seemed like Boston played Philly in the playoffs almost every season. But since 1985, they've only played four times. Celtics have won every time, 4-1 in 85, 3-2 in 2002. This series here that we're discussing, 4-3. And then in 2018, the Embiid Sixers lost to the Celtics 4-1. And we're trailing 3-0 as Moof Morris told Embiid at one time. So it's going on 40 years since the Celtics lost to Philadelphia in the playoffs.
That's
for what that's worth.
For what it's worth. You never
for
know.
What it's worth.
You never know. If, you know, another one could be coming. So that'd be
could
a nice,
be.
That'd be a nice stat to pull out during a series there. So, and this is, it's so funny. Time passes, you forget, you see these guys, you forget, like, this is Andre Iguodala, Drew Holiday on this Sixers team, Thaddeus Young, all of these guys that, you know, I'm just like, oh, right, Drew Holiday was on the Sixers first. Elton Brand was part of this team. He's now running the team. And of course, like you said, Evan Turner, Lou Williams. Lou Williams, I think, has been playing since like 1973.
And making shots.
Making shots. So, yes. So the Celtics ended up winning this series in seven. Rondo drops two triple-doubles in this series, including that one in the game seven. So then they go on to face the Miami Heat. Again, this is the second seeded Miami Heat. At that year, who was the it was Chicago was the top seed, right? Was Chicago?
Were they?
Yeah, Chicago was the top seed that year. But they were hurt and Philly won that. That was Philly upset Chicago in an 8-1 matchup.
Oh, right. That was that when Derrick Rose got hurt?
Yeah, tore his ACL.
Yeah.
And
that was his MVP year.
Yeah, and Joakim Noah got hurt in the series. And so they just the Sixers won that game in six, won that series in six. So yes. So the Miami Heat were the second seed that year. And so the Celtics face the Heat. This is a again, facing LeBron. LeBron hasn't won his championship yet. Like, we're sitting here, Boston's still standing in his way, and the Celtics come out in this series. Now, they lose the first two games in Miami. So it's looking like it's not looking great. They lose fairly handily in game one. They lose in overtime in game two. That game two, Rondo has a 44-point game, 44 points, 10 assists. We're getting vintage playoff Rondo in this series.
Follow us on our social channels at LO Celtics on Twitter and at Locked On Celtics on Instagram.
Let's start at those first two games where the Celtics couldn't break through against Miami.
Well, they almost broke through. The first game, no. Miami was all over them. But the second game, that went into overtime. And Rondo, as you were saying, had a great scoring night. But the key play that turned that game and probably the whole series was in overtime with about a minute and a half left. Rondo drove to the basket. Dwayne Wade hit him in the face with his forearm and trying to block the shot. He missed the ball and hit Rondo in the face. No call. And the game was tied at the time. And Miami got the rebound, fast break the other way. You know how it is in the NBA. You miss a layup, the other team makes a layup in 5 seconds. And that's what happened. And that was the key play that allowed Miami to take a lead, and then they held on to that lead. Now, you might say, well, Rondo wasn't a good free throw shooter, so if he did get the call, you don't know what would have happened. Well, that night he was 10 of 12 from the foul line, so you got to feel good about it if he had gotten that call. But it was Dwayne Wade. They were in Miami, and LeBron is on that team. And, you know, they just were going to get away with it.
Well, not only that, the game was tied at 105 when that play happened. Rondo drives and gets hit with 135 left on the clock. And so Miami goes the other way with it. And scores. Well, first of all, there's still a minute and a half left in the game at that point. But even if Rondo misses those two free throws, it's still, that does change the entire dynamic of what happens next. I don't know how that call wasn't made, because very obvious that he was hit in the face. If nowadays maybe you call a timeout and challenge that. I don't know, but it was pretty obvious that he was hit in the face. Lord knows what I was tweeting after that.
I watched the replay or the clip on YouTube recently, and I think it was Jeff Van Gundy was on there, and after he watched the replays, it was a blatant foul. You know, there was no doubt about it. It was a foul. But they missed the call, and as you said, the dynamic changed. The momentum, you know, Miami getting that loose ball, going down, I think Haslam scored a dunk to finish that play. And, you know, they were at home and the crowd reacted and suddenly they're all pumped up. And, you don't know what would have happened, but it would have certainly been more favorable for the Celtics to get that call, obviously.
Sure. Of course it would have been. And, you know, again, like I said, when these things happen, you know, you stop, you're at the free throw line, it's overtime, we've got an aging team. They get to rest at the free throw line rather than running up. Like, Rondo takes us to, you know, you take 30 seconds of not running up and down the floor. Well, that helps. And so you don't know what happens next. You don't know what happens through, you know, in the next couple of plays. So there's a lot. You can go any number of directions with if that call was made. But I personally, I don't like to blame things on officiating. That's not my go-to thing. The Celtics still had opportunities. They had a minute and a half left, and they were only down two. They had chances. They couldn't take care of it. But the Celtics did take care of business in the next three games. All of a sudden, after that, the Celtics go home a game three and win. Game four at home, they win. Game five in Miami, they win. The Celtics, all of a sudden, whip off three straight wins. And you're this team that we're like had no expectations for, we're sitting here saying like, oh my God, we could go to the finals again.
Well, you said they were streaky.
Yeah, that's for
this
sure.
This is true. They lost two and then they won three. Now, let me just mention, I have no such reluctance to blame officials. I agree with Tommy. What he says is there are three teams out there, the two teams competing and the team of referees, and their performance all counts. So I'm going to just go ahead and blame Dwayne Wade for getting away with one on that game two. All right. But back to the three-game winning streak now for the Celtics. Yeah, that was amazing. Game four, they won in overtime. LeBron fouled out, but so did Pierce. In the overtime, the scoring in overtime was 4-2 Boston. That was a war, a battle defensively. And then in game five, you might remember that the Celtics were up one and they had the ball late. And Pierce hit the three in LeBron's face with just a few seconds remaining, put them up four. That was basically the game, you know, that clinched it. And that was the game where, as they were leaving the court, the little kid in Miami was telling them, good job, good effort. We all
right.
got a good chuckle out of that.
Oh, the good job, good effort game. I forgot about that.
Yeah.
That was great.
We all thought that was hilarious. I guess LeBron didn't think it was hilarious.
Well, it was.
Because unfortunately, it was. It was. It was great. It was a great moment, perfectly made for Twitter and SportsCenter and, you know, all the quick highlights. But, then it turned around again, the whole series.
The streaky Celtics hit the wrong kind of streak.
We have to talk about games 6 and 7. We're going to do it tomorrow. We're going to wrap up this conversation. This is, as much as some of you might not like LeBron James, and you have your reasons, this series, this game 6 and 7, is such a turning point for his career. Like, this is the flashpoint, the moment. This is where LeBron became LeBron. And as you'll hear as we continue our conversation tomorrow, it could have gone sideways. It could have gone much, much differently than it went. If the Celtics were able to pull this off, and we know historically, we know that they didn't. If they were able to pull this off, who knows what LeBron's legacy is at this moment. It really could be different because the team, Miami, could have gotten blown up. And who knows? LeBron may not be on the Lakers right now. He may never have gone back to Cleveland. Does he ever win a championship? I mean, maybe he's LeBron. He's won three. There's a good chance he's going to win one somewhere along the way. But if the Celtics win this series, who knows what happens? We know things get weird. So that conversation continues tomorrow on the Locked On Celtics podcast. So please subscribe if you have not. Please tell your friends if you are a subscriber. Spread the word because more listeners really, really help. As much as it's been great that you have stuck around, we have lost a fair amount of listeners during the pandemic because people just don't want to listen to basketball podcasts, and I understand that. A lot of people don't. I mean, I'm watching a lot more news myself than I used to. So I get it. But when basketball returns and we're getting knee-deep into actual basketball, which I hope that they can do it, because I'd really love to get back to talking about Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown and Marcus Smart and Kemba Walker and those guys and Gordon Hayward and all the stuff they're doing on the floor. So subscribe. When basketball is back, we're going to be talking about basketball as often as we can. We might be doing 2 hour a day podcasts just because we're so excited to talk about basketball. So thanks for the subscriptions. Thanks for the likes. Thanks for the shares, all of that stuff. Also, thank you for visiting our sponsors, rockauto.com. Go to rockauto.com right now for an amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. Visit rockauto.com and tell them Locked On sent you. That is the end of the Locked On Celtics podcast. Now tell your smart device to play the latest episode of Locked On NBA.